of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was a dumb man that opened not my mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they hate me, wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I followed a thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. We continue our studies in the book of Psalms. We come to Psalm 38. We're not far away from the end of book number one of the book of Psalms. As you know, the Psalter is broken into five books, and we're progressing slowly. Again, there's no rush to complete these studies. And we come now to Psalm 38. It's got an interesting title. It's a Psalm of David. So this is penned by King David. It's penned from his experience. It's penned from his sin, really. In some respects, it's quite a depressing little psalm, this one. It speaks some heavy things. And it's got a title there, a Psalm of David to bring to remembrance. That title is again repeated in Psalm number 70, to bring to remembrance. To whose remembrance? To David's? To ours? Possibly. But I think more to the Lord's remembrance. He's seeking the Lord to remember him in his time of trouble and time of great need. There's much speculation about when this was written. Some scholars think this stinking sore or wound that he has could be leprosy. There's no indication of that here, as I can see, or others can see also. But he's in a poor condition. And really, the psalm can be broken into three sections, from verse 1 down to verse 8, to section 1, and then 9 to verse 14, it'd be section 2, and 15 to the end. And each of those sections begins with a plea to the Lord. Verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not. In verse 9, Lord, he declares a different word for Lord as we have in verse 1. In verse 1, the word there for Lord is Jehovah or Yahweh. In verse 9, the word there, Lord, is Adonai, Master. And then also verse 15, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear me, O Lord, my God. So he uses those two terms for Lord, but then he adds my God as well. And towards the end of the psalm, he uses all those three aspects of God's name and character at the end. Forsake me not, O Lord, Jehovah. O my God, that is the God of the covenant. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me. O Lord, my salvation. O Lord, my Adonai, my master. So David sees himself as a servant of God. First of all, he sees Jehovah as his God, as the God of the covenant, my God, and also as his master. And he sees himself that way because God has brought him with a price. Just as the Lord Jesus brought us with the price of his blood, we're not our own, we are his bond slaves. And again, we can quite happily join in with prayer that we call the Lord our master. And my God. And David is sore pressed. In verse 1 he says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. And David is feeling God's rebuke upon him. For whatever reason, he doesn't flesh that out for us. But in verse 3 he tells us quite clearly, he says, because of my sin. Because of my sin. God will chastise his people. Not out of a vindictive spirit, but out of a spirit to draw us back to himself, to enliven us to his precepts and to his character, enliven us and call us to rely more upon the Lord than upon ourselves. When we go our own way, the Lord has ways of bringing us back. And sometimes those ways are hard, and they're difficult. And it seems as the Lord has struck him down with some illness, and it's really affected his heart and his mind and his body. We need to be careful here. Not all illness is sent from the Lord as a rebuke for our sin. We are fallen creatures, and our bodies are decaying. Those who've been working out the back today, that they've got aches and pains. And you hear them up on the roof and they're groaning, and you've got to lift up because their knees won't bend anymore. Just part of that fallen condition. We become old and become weary. So we can't say that all illness is connected to our sin. But we can say sometimes it is. And in this case, it was so for David. And he says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath. He's feeling the full wrath of God upon him. Neither chasing me in thy hot displeasure. It's painful. And it's there for a purpose. He says, for thine arrows stick fast in me. We looked in a previous psalm where the Lord is drawing back his bow and his arrows are pointed at the wicked. Even here, the Lord points his arrows at the righteous. For thine arrows, they are his arrows. Everything which comes into our life is ordained, purposed by God for our good. For thine arrows stick fast in me. It's almost as if the arrowhead has gone right into the flesh. And not only that, notice this. Thy hand, whose hand? God's hand, presseth me sore. It's almost as if he's pushing that arrow deeper into the wound. God does that. And it's painful. David's really feeling a sense of God's wrath and God's displeasure. God is displeased with sin. And he says in verse 3, there's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones. This is affecting in the flesh, and he's even gone to his core of his being, to his very bones. He's feeling the anger of Almighty God. Neither is there any rest in my bones. Because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. It's a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. As if these iniquities, his sin, is swamping him. He's drowning in the wrath and in his own iniquity. And he seems to find no rest or no respite. For mine iniquities, he's acknowledging he's a sinner. Because of my sin, mine iniquities, This has come upon me. It's like Bunyan, isn't it? That burden upon his back. It's just that heavy burden which he cannot bear himself. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. In a sense, this is the way that God brings his people to himself. This is this deep conviction of sin. Some have a nice, easy path into the kingdom. But some have this trauma, this wrestling, this struggle with their sin, and they're unable to find peace with God. But others come like a little lamb. Others need to be drawn in other means. And David is now experiencing the magnitude of his sin. This is what this psalm's all about. The depth of his iniquity. And he can find no respite. For my iniquities have gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink. They are corrupt because of my foolishness. Again, he says, because. He says that in verse 3. Because of my sin, because of my foolishness. It's all his fault. He's not blaming others. Adam blamed Eve. It's the woman you gave me. We tend to blame others also for our sin. And David's being honest with himself and owning up to his sin. And he's troubled. Verse 6. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a lonesome disease. Again he says, there's no soundness in my flesh. And as you see your sin, as God sees it, you see how wide it is, how deep it is, how high it is. It's a great burden, and there's no soundness. We're corrupt through and through. And the more we see our sin, the more God will reveal it to us, and we see there is no soundness in ourselves. We have no strength. It says in verse 8, I am feeble. I am sore broken. I have roared by reason of my disquietness of my heart. Then there's a turning in verse 9. David says, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. What a comfort that is, isn't it? Lord, all my desire is before thee. And in Psalm 37, what was his desire? He wanted to know the Lord even more. He wanted to know the perfect man. He wanted to walk in the covenant. He wanted to know God's law. The law of his God is in his heart. This was his desire. The more he desired to know God, the more God gave him that desire to know him and revealed himself to David. He says, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. He knows our groanings. He knows when we're heavily burdened. Not only does he know when we're burdened, he knows the joys of our life as well. He knows everything about us. Even this hard time, God knows. That is a comfort. And my groaning is not hid from thee. We can hide it from each other. And we do that very well. We can't hide it from the Lord. And why should we? He knows anyway. So it's a foolish thing to attempt to do. It says in verse 10, my heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. He seems to be in this darkness and this almost like a depression is set upon him. Not only that, this inner turmoil, this bodily anguish. He says in verse 11, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, my kinsmen stand far off. Those who should be coming to comfort him are standing away from him. But it's almost, you know, we can't go near the man. You go near him, you're going to catch what he's got. And his friends and his lovers, they stand far off from him. Another aspect of this psalm we can think of is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see that first section, the Lord Jesus Christ bearing our sin. Some commentators say it's a blasphemy to say can apply this to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't think that's so. Corinthians tells us that he bore our iniquities. And following on from these verses here, we see an aspect of our wonderful Saviour. His friends, they stood afar off. Some deserted, some fled, some denied to know. They knew him. Peter denied him three times. My lovers, my friends, stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Those who should be with him, standing with him, are too fearful. And we would be in that same position if we were in their time and in their position. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. We see it again with the Lord Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes and the Romans sought to destroy him. They laid these snares. They were constantly sniping at him, trying to undermine him, his work and his ministry, trying to entrap him with his words. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things. They imagine deceits all the day long. Spurgeon says, the devil's workmen labour in the forge day and night. They never rest. They are constantly scheming, plotting. They can't attempt to fulfilment. They just speak about it. If they can't speak about it, they think about it. And they seek all they can to destroy the believer and the Lord himself. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. And Satan will do all he can to lay mischievous accusations against the believer, against us, the people of God. He'll do all in his power to undermine us, to come and lean amongst us and cause division. He's a master at division, and we need to be wary of his devices. Again, verse 13, David says, but I, as a deaf man, heard not. I was a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ, when they reviled him and they spat upon his face, they slapped him, they questioned him, he gave no answer. He was as that a dumb lamb before his shearers. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Sometimes that's the best policy, you know? When people accuse us and seek to attack us and undermine us, if they make up stories about us. We know people that's happened to. Maybe it's happened to you. The best policy is to bear it. The more we seek to justify ourselves, the harder it becomes. We bear it. God will vindicate. God will see that justice is done. He will see that right is seen by all men. We follow the Lord's example. He reviled not. He spake. He did not defend himself. And that's a good policy. Verse 14, thus I was a man that heareth not, and his mouth are no reproofs. And there it is. And verse 15, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. It's almost as if he's had an epiphany here. Something's happened. He's crying out in faith. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. What confidence David has. Even though he's going through this hard time in his life, he still has his faith. He still has his confidence. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. He's not being shifted. He's not being moved. He's on that strong foundation. Thou wilt hear. And when we cry in faith, the Lord hears. And he says, O Lord, my God. That's a privilege. As the people of God, we come here tonight to pray, and he will hear our prayers as we come, as we seek the face of the Lord, my God, that covenant-keeping God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before thee. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. Again, we see David owning up to his iniquity, that perverseness, that propensity we all have to do what is wrong. That's our sin, our iniquity. And he says, I will be sorry for my sin, that shortcoming. We've missed the mark. We missed the glory of God. He says, but my enemies are lively and they are strong. And they hate me wrongfully are multiplied. And the enemies of the Lord were strong. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came together with the Romans. And they were strong, humanly speaking. And they were lively, they were active. And yet, they were ultimately defeated. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil, for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that is good. They hated him because he followed what was good. If we stand up against the sin of this world, the world will hate us. We stand up against the laws and rules of our nation, which are contrary to the word and command of God, we will be hated. Even if you name the name of Christ, people will hate you because you follow after that which is good. Because I follow the thing that good is. So we're not surprised, are we, when the world reviles us and hates us. He hated our Lord. The Lord said, if he hates me, he will hate you also. Then David ends this sweet little psalm. Verse 21, forsake me not, O Lord Jehovah. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. And again, David is proving the promises of God in his life and his experience. And he would encourage us also to prove the goodness of the Lord. The Lord says, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. Multiple times that promise is in the word of God. And David's reminding the Lord, bring to remembrance, at the beginning of this psalm, bring to remembrance, forsake me not. Lord, you promised you would never leave me nor forsake me. Oh my God, God of the covenant, all those covenant promises you've made to your people, I claim them for myself. I am one of your people. Oh my God, be not far from me. But David can say that from the heart. How much more can we say that? For we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. He's that comforter. He's that counselor who never forsakes us. Oh my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me. O Lord, my salvation. And where's the people of God here tonight? We can rejoice in that great truth. O Lord, my salvation. Last Lord's Day, Colin is preaching his platform. Near but far. We need to pray for these people amongst us here. Our friends and our family. They're near, but they're far, far away. They're right on the edge of eternity, into the abyss, or into the presence of the Lord. It's our duty, it's our joy to wrestle with God in prayer for the unconverted, to really lay hold of these souls and to bring their names before him in faith. And they may cry with us one day, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. May that be so for all those who gather in this place in the coming days. Amen. 204, please.